we celebrate the life of fathers today. We'll do a lot of good eating, a lot of backpacking, padding, maybe not packing, I hope not backpacking. Cards will be sent, gifts will be given. Mary John Beale said she was quite honored today that on her birthday, men everywhere decided to celebrate her. And it is a day of celebration. Did any of you get any Father's Day gifts today? Anybody get a new necktie? The judge got a new necktie. That's great. You know what? I broke the all-time record for my Father's Day this weekend. I got the biggest and the best Father's Day gift I think I've ever had besides my kids. Their birth. How about that? That was smart. I cleaned that up, didn't I? I got a new big green egg cooking instrument called a grill, right? Manya told me, she said, this is Happy Father's Day, Happy Anniversary, Happy Birthday, Merry Christmas, and you can even throw in a Happy Hanukkah if you want to. I'm stocked up for the year, in other words, my friends. It was a great gift, and we tried it out yesterday, and through gift giving, it's a way for us to say, to express, maybe even beyond what words can express, our appreciation for the people, the family, and friends in our lives, right? That's what we do when we give gifts. It says that they have value to us. Or we place high value in that relationship. We celebrate who they are, maybe even what they've done, but more than what they've done, it's just a celebration of what they mean to us, right? So we honor fathers in that way. And other family members on their birth or throughout their life, any special time we want to say to them, this gift is given by me because I value you. You know our God works that way. In ways far beyond our gift giving, the Lord above has given us a gift called grace. It's an abundant outpouring of God's love. In the spirit of gift giving, it's a free gift that God lavishes on us as family members, as we would to friends, as His children. He says, my gift of life and love to you is given simply because I cherish you as my family. Wow. We celebrate that gift of grace that we can't earn and we don't deserve. The Apostle Paul said it this way in his letter to the church in Ephesus. Those familiar words to many of us where he recorded in chapter 2 of that book, verse 8 through 9, right? Paul clarifies the gift of God's love. He says, for it is by grace that you've been saved, not the result of works, so that no one should boast. See, Paul says, it's not what we do that gives us the gift of life and salvation unto heaven. It's a gift given by God above. Because He loves us. Because we're special. Because we are His. But Paul says, after that initial call to salvation through grace, he makes a transition that sometimes we don't always read with that first portion of the text. The very next verse, after verse 9, Paul says, we have been created in Christ Jesus for good works. He says, in other words, we are His, the one who saved us. And we're called to do something in response to His gift. Now that makes sense in a secular world, doesn't it? We understand that when someone gives us a gift, we have a responsibility of what we're going to do with that gift, correct? When Manya gave me the big green egg, there was an instruction course from the seller of how I needed to take care of that. He said, don't use traditional charcoal briquettes. He said, you need to use lump, whole, organic charcoal. And I thought it was a way just to sell more money, wouldn't y'all? But he said, no. The traditional briquettes will damage the interior wall, the ceramic wall, because it has chemicals in it. He said, you've got to take care of it. You've got to cherish the gift. We understand that, right? Who would I be as a gift recipient if I didn't take care of what I was given? It wouldn't show my value in the gift or my appreciation for the gift. So God calls us, as those who receive His gift, the gift of life, the celebration of love. Heaven above is given to us. Now we're called to respond to that gift, to take care of it in the spirit of grill keepers, to maintain it, to cherish it, to value it, and not cheapen the grace that's given to us. See, isn't that what happens? When we examine that word, cheap grace, it's to place less value upon the gift. It's to not let our life fully become what God intended them to be. He graced us with a gift. Much as my wife and family graced me for a gift where I could what? Where I could nourish and sustain us with good food so I could bless not only myself but those around me. That was the purpose of the gift, to share, to use, to bless. And so God gifts us as His children and calls us to nurture, nourish, and bless the world around us. In the spirit and words of Paul, we have been given this gift for good works. Paul says here, in the reading that I shared with you this morning, just prior to that in chapter 5, verse 10, he speaks of the judgment of Christ. He says, we all must appear before Christ at His judgment seat, so that each may receive recompense or what is due, so that each may receive what is due them for what they have done in the body. Now, wow, Paul's confusing me a little bit here. How about you? We just shared earlier where he said in Ephesians chapter 2, that it's by grace that we're saved. But here Paul says, we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to look at us and judge us according to what? According to what we have done. In other words, it seems to me that Paul is saying, what we do matters. In heaven. The complications of that, as we try to wrap our mind around it and understand it, is to understand that we are gifted life only by God's grace. But there are rewards in heaven. There are positions in heaven based upon what we do on earth. We get there only by God's grace. But God judges us upon what we do here as well. Wasn't it James? John? Who asked Jesus? Let us, Lord, sit at your right and left hand in heaven. Jesus didn't say, you got it all wrong. There's not a right and left hand. Jesus didn't say, no, there's not archangels and regular angels. Jesus said, that's not for me to say. We don't understand. We don't have the full concepts of knowledge of the life to come. But we do gravitate and hold on to the words of Paul where he reminds us that what we do now matters for eternity. Let me say it this way in a practical sense. We've been having lawnmower issues at the Hill household. Our mower that we bought just last year is, it'll run for a little bit and then it'll just stop. And I won't be able to finish the yard. Manya thinks it's a scheme, a scam that I've instituted, that I'm sabotaging the lawnmower, right? But we finally took it to a repair person. And you know what they told me? They said the carburetor has gone bad and it's your fault. Well, they didn't say it that bluntly. They said it in a real nice way, but they said the carburetor has gone bad, and what kind of fuel have you been using? It seems that it was very dirty fuel, and it's trashed the carburetor. I said, well, the old-timers always told me that you should use ethanol-free fuel, right? Any of you ever heard that? Runs better on small engines. He said, oh, there's the problem. He said, back many years ago when they first came out with ethanol fuel, the small engines weren't accustomed to the chemicals in that process. And it did wear on the lines and the tubing that transmitted the oil and the fuel. He said, but refinement has been made not only to the fuel of premium-based fuels, but also to the engines they run. And now that small engine of yours, it's built to run not on ethanol-free, dirty fuel, but on clean, pure, premium fuel. You see, the choices I made had a lasting effect upon my tool. When we put the wrong things into it, the wrong things come out. My behavior as a homeowner, as a lawnmower owner, it affected the lasting effect of my mower. The choices I made had a lasting impact upon the tool I wanted to use. You see, the choices we make, friends, in a spiritual sense, in a relational aspect with our God, they matter. The choices we make, the things we do, have a long-term effect far greater than the maintenance of a lawnmower. Our decisions, our choices, our behavior matter. But Paul also says in the later portions of this scripture, he says in verse 10 of chapter 6, the reading that we just shared, he speaks prior to that of all the challenges that he's faced in the church as the leader of the body, as trying to evangelize and share the gospel. He shares a long list of the hardships, the persecution, the imprisonments that he's known as a messenger of God. And in the midst of all of that, he ends by saying this. Listen to these beautiful words, how he responds to all the problems that he faces. He says in verse 10, though I have lived things that should make me sorrowful, though I have endured worries and brokenness in family, in marriage, in life, in work, though we are engulfed as people of faith with challenges of our own, though we can gravitate to Paul's words and say, I have an existence that should have me sorrowful. That's what he says. But instead of sorrowful, Paul says this, I'm always rejoicing. I'm as one who has nothing, he continues, and yet I possess everything. Wow. You know what that says to me? It says to me Paul is calling us to hear the words of life. That what? We do matters in the eternal, but guess what, friends? Hear this. Will you, church? Receive this. What we do matters in the here and now as well. It matters in the judgment. But our behavior, our attitude, our gravitation to the grace of God and the walking in His ways matters now. Paul said, I'm a man who should be filled with sorrow. Can't we all relate to that in some way on our journey? Paul says, I'm a man who should be filled with sorrow, and yet I'm engulfed with joy because he bases his joy in Jesus Christ. He works the faith. He practices his belief. He does it cheapen the grace of God, but shares it with the world around him and knows joy. You see the beauty of our faith, friends? God calls us to do good works because it matters in heaven, and yes, it matters to us even now. We know joy when we do the good works of the faith. We live our best life when we follow in the steps of Christ. So may we go forth as we strive to be people of light and love, to hear these words of Paul that he began our writing with this morning, as we work together as his church, as his parents, as his business leader, as students at school, and members of a baseball team, as we go forth into this world as recipients of his gifts, he says this in verse 1, may we not accept the grace of God in vain. In other words, Paul says, don't let it be wasted only upon us, the gift. May we use that gift to bless our family, our friends, and the world around us, so that the grace of God will never be cheapened through our lives, but it will be a bountiful expression and springboard for us to love and embrace the world with the same grace we've been given. Amen.